Around for July 18th, 2017. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hassenflow.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. It is the middle of July.
You still have a month to go before you get to go back to work full time.
I know. I'm just enjoying life.
The pool is calling.
The pool. The outside. I built a fire pit out back. We just sit outside and stare burn at stuff. The fire, burn stuff. A lot of junk mail. God, there's so much junk mail. I just throw
why do we have a post office?
I don't know.
For junk mail.
That is the industry that they are in right now. There's no doubt about that. So there's so many things going on. It's so great. So great to have you. Thank you for tuning in to Too Much Scrolling. Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week.
Film at 11.
Baby Driver.
Now, Baby Driver was released, what, about 3 weeks ago?
Yes.
And we sat down and watched it.
This movie a lot.
I liked it a lot, too.
Edgar Wright is one of my favorite directors working right now. This is an Edgar Wright film.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the other films he did. He did Scott Pilgrim Against the World, which if you haven't watched that, that's based on actually on a comic.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great film.
Yeah.
And have you seen it?
Yeah, I have.
Okay, so there's a lot of fun parts to it. And the levels that Scott Pilgrim has to fight is fascinating.
So much fun.
Oh, very good. He also did a whole bunch of other movies. He did Hot Fuzz.
Yes.
Which is...
A perfect buddy cop comedy, making fun of a parody of that buddy cop genre, but doing it so well.
And this one is a chase movie. So Baby Driver is a chase movie.
It's a heist. It's a heist movie.
Okay.
There's a lot of chasing in it. Baby Driver is a driver, a getaway driver for a bank robbery group.
How do you like that first chase where he's in the red Subaru?
Great.
And how he kind of, how he got away.
And that was the one that was in the trailer. And I was worried about watching the trailer for this one because I thought we would see the best chase. That's not the best chase. That's a really good one. Getting away in that red Subaru is so much fun. And I love the camera work. I love the angles of how this was shot. But the characters in this movie are great.
Now, Kevin Spacey plays a real jerk.
Yes, he does.
So it's really a stretch for him. He's never played one before.
I hope good things come to this new actor, Kevin Spacey. He is.
We were talking about the movie he was in before, Swimming with Sharks, the one where he was just such a relentless jerk that his subordinate ended up kidnapping him and was doing paper cuts all over his body.
Cutting him with paper. Like, this is the worst thing that I could do to you because you've been such a jerk to me. This is torture.
Well, and then, Horrible Bosses.
Horrible Bosses. He played kind of a mean jerk in that one.
So you missed your grandmother's funeral. He just made fun of him the whole time. Well, and you got House of Cards is a good example where Francis Underwood, he's just, he is the FU, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Kevin Spacey plays the part and he played it well.
John Hamm is amazing in Baby Driver. He is as handsome as John Hamm can be, but he's grizzled. He's got this beard and his hair is weird. And he's still, I just looked at him the whole time going, oh, John Hamm.
Well, the whole setup is done real well.
Mm-hmm.
The entire movie is choreographed. So everything's like to the beat of the music that he's playing. This soundtrack has like 50 songs to it.
And I didn't recognize almost any of them. You know that I don't do music very well, but these were not the normal top 20 songs. These were the other songs.
Well, you may know the song, but you may know it from a different artist.
Okay.
So we had a lot of those playing on theirs. But, when he's running across the tables or whatever, it's to the beat of the song. So they worked real hard on making sure this was the case. We highly recommend this. We talked about this when it first came out. And I think this is a fantastic film.
Now, you didn't mention the Edgar Wright film, in my opinion. That's Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead is perfect.
Shaun of the Dead is a great film. I've watched probably 10 times. Baby Driver is a really good movie that I will probably buy a copy of and watch again.
Well, I'll watch it again, too. I think this is a really good film. And there's not that many great films for the year. So this is worth your time.
Very, very Edgar Wright style. If you like Edgar Wright, you will like Baby Driver. You got a chance to see Sing.
Did you say Sing?
I did. We reviewed it back when it came out. I did not like it very much, and sounds like you didn't like it very much either.
No, I didn't. If you were a kid and you watched it, okay.
This is the animated one where the animals are doing the America's Got Talent.
Yeah, American Idol. That type of thing. They've got a great cast to it. This is a very flat film.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're a kid, maybe you'll enjoy it. But as an adult, I just found it very tedious and not very fun.
Yeah, the storyline is not very useful.
No, it's but what I see is what I think of a lot of Illumination films.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there. And it's just not as sparkly as Pixar typically is.
And does it seem foreign to you? That was my review when we talked about this. There's something about this that is not normal to my movie viewing.
All right. Matthew McConaughey's in it. I didn't think it was overly foreign.
No.
I just didn't think it was, it just wasn't waxed up real nice. It just...
It's a kid's movie.
There's something just wasn't popping the way it should have popped.
Okay.
But you know what? When we have, you know, in the old days, we'd have one of these a year or maybe two of these a year. Now we've got so many coming out that they really do have to kind of sparkle. And this one, to me, like I said, was a little flat.
Okay. Opening this week, we've got some big movies coming out. The first one's called Dunkirk. This is the true story of a battle of World War II written and directed by Christopher Nolan.
And I think that's really the key to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dunkirk is a famous battle, but it's the Christopher Nolan part that's really going to tie this up. Christopher Nolan did the Dark Knight series. Mm-hmm. He's done The Prestige. He did a whole bunch of great stuff. He wrote this. He directed this. This is why I want to see this.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go to the movie this week and you want to see, I didn't say the word adult film. I said you want to see a more grown-up film.
Mm-hmm.
This would be probably the one I would pick.
Yeah. Again, this is a war picture. I don't see myself seeing this one. It's got Kenneth Branagh in it, though.
Sure.
And he's not directing. Christopher Nolan is directing Kenneth Branagh. I bet you Kenneth Branagh gave him some tips at some point in the directing. Also coming out this week, we have a CGI extravaganza, Valerian and the City of 1,000 Planets.
Now, this is a big science fiction, probably a young adult type of pick for the week.
Mm-hmm.
This will be should be a very good film.
Yep,
especially on a graphic novel. It looks like it's like a Star Wars-ish kind of fast moving type of
action adventure, shooting, flying, falling.
Sure.
This is directed by Luc Besson, who you might know from The Fifth Element and The Professional. So those are some very interesting, different kinds of movies. Also, Transporter. So I look forward to watching this one.
This one looks like a lot of fun, too.
A lot of CGI. Girls Trip is another one of those movies where your wife says, "I'm going to the movies."
I'm going with some of my girlfriends.
And my girlfriends are coming with us. We'll be back later.
We're going to have some cocktails.
Yeah, this is another one of those. Some of those have done really well. Some of them have fallen flat. I don't know what's going to happen with this one. Queen Latifah, Jada Pinkett Smith are featured in this one. I've seen some good reviews and I've seen some bad reviews. We'll see what happens with that one. Landline. It's the title of a movie because people still think about having a phone in the house.
What's a landline, Steve? That's what your grandkids are going
to
be asking.
It's a series of digits that you would dial in order to reach the house. This one is another one of those dads having an affair and the kids find out about it. But the dad in this one is John Turturro. So I might actually watch this one just to see John Turturro acting.
If you have a young person, is there a film for... When I say a young person, if you have a young person a teenager, is there a film they should be watching this week?
Yeah, there's Scales, Mermaids Are Real coming out this week. This looks like a fun adventure with, you know, young
Let's
ladies.
Just say you have a 13, 14-year-old, 15, and they're going to go... 15-year-old, they're going to go to the movies, especially if they're girls.
Uh-huh.
This is probably all for them.
Yeah, the main character's named Siren Phillips.
How did that happen? I don't get it.
I don't get it. We have to look into some interesting information to watch Scales.
Now, there is a documentary that's coming out. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, the Pulitzer Prize is turning 100 years old, and there is a movie called The Pulitzer at 100, and looking at what this award has done.
And so we have a whole group of people that are going to be interviewed for it. This looks really good. I would recommend we seek this out, especially for those of us who want the more intellectual experience.
Oh, very nice. We are going to learn about the history of the Pulitzer. There's a movie called The Black Prince. This is the story of Queen Victoria and the last king of Punjab. This looks very bright and colorful. I love looking at cultural pictures like this.
This looks pretty interesting. This will be something I'll end up seeing in the fall. It'll come out in streaming or mm-hmm. something like that. Well, yeah. I'll end up catching it then.
Fun picture. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week.
Book it, book it, book it. Book it, book it, book it. Book it.
I got a chance to read Born a Crime, Stories from a South African Childhood. This is written by Trevor Noah, who is the current host of The Daily Show. And he came from South Africa, and boy, has he made it big here in this country.
Well, he's a comedian and mm-hmm. a storyteller. And one of the beauties of listening to Trevor talk is he's not an American black person.
So right.
He doesn't have the same black experience.
Perspective.
But he has a South African perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their own sort of ways of dealing with race down there.
And the interesting part about this book is he was growing up right at the edge of apartheid. He was born when apartheid was still in place in South Africa. He lived through the transition from apartheid to freedom. And what that meant for these people. A lot of it meant no jobs.
Well, tell me a little bit about more about this book, about why he wrote it and what he was trying to talk about.
Well, he was born a crime. It was illegal for his parents to have sexual relations and to have a child. His mother is black and his father is white and Dutch. And it was completely illegal at the time for them to have any sort of relationship. And it was a completely illegal situation for him to be born half white and half black in South Africa.
Which is interesting because I remember seeing his stand-up comedy routine
mm-hmm.
where he talked about, I think he had to walk across the street.
From his mother and from his father. He could not be seen on the street with either one of them because he was not white and he was not black. He was something else.
Something in between.
Yeah. It is a very interesting, intriguing story. I listened to the audiobook of this.
Okay.
It changes you when you listen to him telling this story about how he had no control over any of these elements. He is just in this situation and he made it. He made the best he could with the situation that he was handed. He's got a whole history, a whole story about how he was a hustler on the streets of South Africa. How okay. he was taking money and exchanging it and being a loan shark on the streets of South Africa.
Really?
Yes. He has such amazing stories. I really am a different person after listening to Trevor Noah explain this to us.
What I think is most fascinating is, you know, I'm a person who grew up in North Carolina. You're a person who grew up in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a lot of similarities, but we have a little bit different in the environment that we grew up in. You know, take that. You know, mm-hmm. we have the American experience. Take that and then throw that on a person who's from a different country and a different culture. And all of a sudden, there's so much that we have alike, but, you know, it seems like that they grew up faster maybe in that situation.
I think so.
And then, you know, having to, his experience of having to deal with things you can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, trying to fit in.
And
trying
the desperation.
Trying to find your way in the world.
He tells a lot of stories of desperation in the situation. Again, okay. back to apartheid. Because apartheid ended, all of those people who were essentially slaves could not do their work anymore. So there was a lot of unemployment. There were a lot of people who had nothing because the law changed.
Sure.
It is a fascinating tale of finding a way to be successful, finding a way to stay positive, finding a way to keep that center of hope and charity, even in these desperate places.
This sounds like a fascinating
read. It is really good. I really suggest it. Born okay. a Crime by Trevor Noah. It's on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our Scroll With It segment, and San Diego Comic-Con is happening this weekend.
All right, so if you're not familiar with San Diego Comic-Con, it's been out for a long time,
yeah,
and you will see it over and over in the news. It's become the pop convention
of
the world.
A lot less about comic books than it used to be.
Yeah, it seems like if you know, it's so close to Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
So close to the film industry, that there's going to be a lot of interviews, a lot of introduction of big things.
A lot of trailers.
Yeah, Jack Kirby turns 100 at the end of August. So I'm sure there's going to be some kind of exhibit to him also.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you expect things on Star Wars and Star Trek and you name it. It's going to happen. Now, we've had some real things happen because of the focus moving away from, say, comics to more pop. And it looks like Mile High Comics, who has been a participant for, 44 years?
44 years. Mile High Comics has been a staple at the San Diego Comic-Con. They are not going to be there for this Comic-Con this year because it just wasn't worth it for them.
Well, the how we purchase things has changed so dramatically, mm-hmm. where at one time conventions would come into town. It didn't matter what the convention was. If you had an interest in it, you would go to it, you'd buy your computer parts or your watches or coins or whatever the convention was that came to your area.
Mm-hmm.
We buy things on the internet now, eBay and Amazon and even a website like Mile High Comics. If you want to buy a specific thing, they got 10 copies of it or whatever.
And they'll send it to you and you'll have it in your hands maybe tomorrow.
Exactly.
Maybe today.
But in addition, there's a chosen focus on this convention and they felt like they were not being treated particularly well. So it'll be interesting to see how this convention evolves. It went from this regional,
mm-hmm. Small convention like I go to all over Chicago,
to this monster worldwide event.
International event where all the stars from everything go to show us whatever's coming up next.
Mm-hmm.
You have been working with an app that eliminates a piece of your wallet. I think a lot of apps eliminate parts of my wallet.
Well, from the first time I got my iPhone, mm-hmm. I used CardStar.
Mm-hmm.
And on CardStar, I ended up putting, you see maybe a mom or a dad who has a keychain with like 1,000 pieces of plastic hanging off of it.
All of those loyalty cards for every store. Every store wants to know all the information they can about you, and they've got their loyalty system so that you can scan the Ace card and the movies.
Dick's and you name the store.
Blockbuster.
CVS, Walgreens, whatever it is. They all have their own card.
I bet you I have a Blockbuster one sitting around somewhere.
I'm sure you do.
I bet I do.
But anyway, I wanted to a place to be able to store those, mm-hmm. and I started using CardStar. Now, a lot of the new apps, Google has the wallet, and iPhone has their own version where you can store credit cards and you can store these loyalty cards.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted to keep them a little separate. I wanted to keep them so that I don't use them all the time. I wanted a place to put them. CardStar has updated their software, and that's where I keep that stuff. I was at the store the other day, and a person commented like, oh, you keep all your stuff organized. Well, the only reason I keep it organized is because it's on this app. And so I just thought I would bring it to your attention. You can download it from Google Play, and you can download it from the iOS store. The App Store, and if you have loyalty cards and you're running around with a keychain with a whole bunch of those junk, get rid of it. You have your phone on you all the time.
Your phone has supplanted so many parts of your lifestyle. When these phones stop working, we are in trouble.
Well, the other thing is, if you did replace your phone, your phone got dipped in water or whatever it is, you have this stuff backed up.
That's what the cloud's for.
And the nice part about it is your phone could be up running again, and these loyalty cards don't go away. In addition to that, I'll use an example. Target's pharmacy was bought last year by CVS.
Correct.
or you know, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, they switched over to the CVS loyalty card. Well, I had not used my CVS loyalty card in probably 10 years or more, but I still had it right there.
Right.
And I just popped it on and brought it up, and now I didn't have to start all over. I picked up wherever I was.
Do you do a lot of financial transactions with your phone? Do you use Apple Pay?
A little bit. Okay. A little bit. And when I see it, it's a novelty still.
Yeah.
But the nice part about it is running around with a wallet seems to be archaic.
It does.
Especially if you're going to the beach, you're going some other place. Knowing that everything is backed up, and if, let's just say your phone got dunked in the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have your phone up and running, and you have the money to go buy another phone. If I could do all that, I could have everything back up and running as it was.
Mm-hmm.
Half hour?
Yeah.
Maybe an hour? Certainly not a lot amount of time. Nothing is kept on my phone. Very few little is kept on the laptop I'm using right now. These have all become things that are
portals to all of your information. I totally agree with you. Those of you who haven't gotten to that part of your life where you're still, oh, my pictures of my child are on this phone, you really need to think about how you're gonna live if that phone stops working.
And the weakness of this is, you know, your driver's license, stuff like that, they haven't found a good way to put those things on there yet.
Not yet.
But those are coming. Your passport, mm-hmm. things of that nature. You're still dealing with, we're dealing with the archaic past, baby.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, CardStar is something I would recommend. And it is a way to keep some apps clean. Everything doesn't have to be through one app. This is a place to dump all those loyalty cards.
Nice. The other thing that I suggest is you go to the Chicago Craft Beer Fest. That's happening this weekend. If you can't go to San Diego Comic-Con, I've never been to San Diego Comic-Con.
I've been to San Diego, not to the Comic-Con. I really don't have an interest in going to the Comic-Con.
Yeah, I want to go to Comic-Con.
If they forced you to, I'm sure we would all have a great time.
Ow, my arm. Yes.
But if I was in San Diego, I'd be at the beach.
Yeah, if I was in Chicago, I'm going to the Craft Beer Fest this weekend.
You can't go wrong there either.
I love going to Beer Fest. I love the science of beer. I enjoy beer, but I love going to different breweries. We've probably been to 2 dozen different breweries mm-hmm. in the last 10 years.
We're in a brewery boom right now.
Oh, still. Yeah. And the science of it, the chemistry of making beer is fascinating to me. I like going to places like this and seeing all the different people, all the different local people who are making beer, and the international group of people who are making beer, and the differences between all of them.
And let me just mention this, because I have we have friends who are traveling now, and Facebook's a great place to throw some pictures up.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a friend of mine I went to high school with, and she's got her sons, and they're over in Europe. And the son, who is 18,
mm-hmm.
Is having a beer. And she said, his first beer. And then she put, legally.
Nice. My first beer was in England.
Was it really?
My first beer was in London, England.
Had a butter beer.
It was a Guinness. That was my first beer. And I was on my senior trip.
Guinness would be a good beer to have for your first beer.
Well, delicious.
You know, it doesn't have, it's got mild flavor.
I agree. Yeah. So it is not overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah, Azima, probably not.
No, that is not delicious. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week.
I think we can. Next week we have Tal Klein, the author of The Punch Escrow. His book is coming out next Tuesday, and he will be here to discuss that with us. I love this book.
Excellent. I'm sure you have a good time.
So tune in next week. If you need more information, you can give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is toomuchscrolling.com. Our email is toomuchscrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. And every day of the week, you can go to our news site, news.toomuchscrolling.com, and find all the news that you need. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflow.
See you in the future.